You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. So great talking with Dan Brick about the Brown County Breakfast on the Farm. Folks, if you've never been to one of these, you got to go. If you've got kids or grandkids especially.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's...
hands-on.
And like Dan said, this has become a family tradition for a lot of people, but you make a good point. This is great for grandkids.
Oh, I'd love to take my granddaughters there.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
You know what the number one thing I remember with all the kids? They can't believe how big cows are when you're up next to them. Right.
That's what I said. Even that equipment, you drive by it. Yeah. Okay, but then you get there and they let you get really close. Nothing's roped off there.
No. Yeah.
So it's very cool.
We're going to keep talking this Sunday, June 1st, Brown County Breakfast on the Farm, 8 until noon. It doesn't go long because it's still a working farm.
Right. And we're going to, I'll be serving and you'll be driving the tractor.
I might be driving the tractor. Oh my God. That's unbelievable.
I'm so glad I brought that up.
I know. Yeah. Thank you, God. By the way, okay.
Well,
so let's
talk to the passengers after.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know you could do donuts with those.
I can do a wheelie.
Okay, a couple kids threw up. Okay, yeah, wow, right. Really? Big deal. I get car sick. Right. Get over it. We got our bingo card entries going. Here's some right now. If you're going to be a part of this, you get a major prize package,
but
okay?
Just the way it works, we're going to put words on the bingo card, and then when we use them, they're going to...
Or phrases, right?
Or phrases. Yeah, okay. Yep, so these are some of the entries.
Go ahead. Bingo card. Mino.
Go ahead.
What is a dry rub?
Okay.
That's for the...
Yeah.
Okay. All right, John Sane.
Like, you wouldn't believe.
All right. Bingo card phrase. Quick pull. That's something John would say. You read that one.
Quick pull. Men's health and Dollar Tree.
Yeah, that's definitely... This next one's you, too. Yep. Bingo card.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yep, that's you. This one might be me.
Linens and sauna.
I think that's what you're going to write. Bingo card. I was going to read that. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Finish bingo card. You good?
I don't make up stories. That's you.
Phenomenal. Milton. Veterans.
Actually, those are three really, really good words. All right. Mall.
Nope. Nope. Be first one.
Oh, phenomenal.
No.
Is it? Oh, here it is. Okay. I thought that. Okay. All right. I don't know who would say this. Downtown mall. Bike seat.
Mine.
All right.
And the last one?
The hood.
Those are our first entries. Every one of them will be used for our bingo cards that we're legitimately giving out to people. You can win a major prize.
Those are really good words. And thank you for listening. Those are obviously listeners.
Yeah.
So good listeners. Loyal listeners. All right.
Tom Swearingen. Tom Swearingen. Mm-hmm. I can never pronounce your last name, Tom. And I've tried practicing. You've advanced the quarterfinals for Taste of the Home's Favorite Chef. Your background is exquisite. And I still want to come to that. You've
that buffet?
Talked about, the brunch.
Yeah. Tom, where you
I got to come to that. So Tom, you got the floor.
Okay, so the brunch is...
Explain who you are.
Okay, so I'm a retired military. I'm a former chef at the Pentagon.
For big-time people.
For William Perry and William Cohen, the two secretaries of defense I worked for, during the Bill Clinton time. So I was in my 20s.
Wow.
Before the internet, before CNN, every time I'd get on CNN, whatever, call my mom, hey, I'm on the, see me on the news.
You didn't stream it to her.
Yeah. After 9/11, I deployed four times, retired 2012.
Where were you when you deployed?
So I was in Saudi Arabia, right after 9/11, I was 60 miles from the Iraq border in Kuwait. I was in Qatar and, the UAE. So I was, I got to do that indoor skiing in the desert.
You did that, didn't you?
I didn't do
the
skiing.
In Dubai.
I've been to those places.
Yeah. So I did golf, at the Abu Dhabi golf course.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's cool.
So that was one of my big things. I wanted to go jet skiing in Persian Gulf and golfing. So after the third time, I actually got to do that. No, so.
We landed in the Persian Gulf on the USS Eisenhower. That was okay. Oh, that's unbelievable. Okay. That's unbelievable.
I'm gonna be honest.
It's when you take off. It's like a slingshot. Yeah. And it's like, man, but they and you get off over the water. What?
It's the hottest place I've ever been. And it was by, I don't know where I was, Ali Asleem, or one of the play over there.
But Ali Asleem, yeah.
Ali Asleem. Yep. People don't realize the humidity. When you have humidity over there, it's, and like, I was in New Orleans, you know, everybody's been, and I was like, how could you possibly, like, even golf or much less put on full pads and play football in this kind of heat? How did you guys handle that heat?
Oh, when you, like, air conditioning everywhere.
Right.
I'm fortunate. I was, when I was in Kuwait, I'm storeroom manager, so I sat in the freezer and counted MREs.
Wow, that's a good gig. Because it's people don't even like with all my Vietnam vets that I'm interviewing. They said Vietnam, scary place, but they said the biggest thing they had to overcome was when they were first there and they experienced that heat. It's like, how do you live in this?
When you walk out the door, it's unbelievable. It hits you like a. And like an oven.
And if you never see sand again, you'd be okay. Sand.
Yeah, but if you look out over the past the concertine wires and stuff, it's nothing but sand.
That's So you parlayed your chef experience into what you're doing now. You also cooked for at least a cheeseburger for Colin Powell.
Yep.
So yeah, that's a cool story.
So General Colin Powell was retired. So he had a consulting gig for the secretaries that I worked for. Every day he'd be walking through with a suit and like out of the corner of your eye, I'm like, you're just seeing famous people all day long.
Well, they got to eat, right? And they came to you. Yep. All right, so tell us about where you're at right now.
Okay, so I also...
Tell everybody where you're from here.
Oh. Right, so I'm from O'Connell Falls. Yep. And in my contest, I just got into like O'Connell Falls chat. So anybody out in O'Connell Falls, there's the link right there. Click on it and vote.
Nice.
So I'm trying to get... today's the last day of quarterfinals, so I'm trying to catch up.
Okay.
I've gone down the first round there. I was first place all the way through. This round, I've shrank down to sixth, and I'm climbing back up to
today's the day.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Tom. I've tried a couple of times and had trouble.
Oh, clicking on it.
Clicking into a type of thing.
Yeah. So click on the picture, and it comes up to the vote.
Okay.
So the voting mechanism there. I'm only advocating just the free votes. I want to win on the free votes, but this is
for, you gotta pay for
extra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yesterday I paid quite a bit of money to
because
I'm competitive.
Right.
Like,
absolutely,
it's like an auction.
Well, but it's not for you. I mean, you're not doing this for your own glory.
Yeah,
go ahead and say what's behind it.
So what you win first. And
this is for the James Beard, which he gives scholarships to culinary students.
Yep.
So he's trying to promote like Martha Stewart. He's the old fashioned Martha Stewart. So this is the prize money is $25,000. I'm not taking a penny of that. I work for the Wabino School District and this is for scholarship monies. So every penny that I would win on this is going to go to a scholarship.
Right.
And the student would have an interest in culinary field. So is it for college or is it for programs right while they're in high school?
No, this would be just for college. So
that's better. Yeah.
So a graduating senior for the next 5 years, we get $5,000.
Wow.
You know, what's kind of cool, Tom, Jim and I were talking about this right before the show because we're big advocates of tech schools.
Yeah.
Okay. And trade. And there's a graph. I wanted to print it, but I didn't know how. But anyway,
it's the same reason you can't vote.
Okay. It was like high schools now when they have these and there's always been problems, millage, yada yada yada. A lot of that money now with a lot of those things are going into upgrading their tech schools at the high schools, and these kids are literally walking to $100,000 jobs at some of these. But the other one, Jim, this is what I wanted to bring up. The other part when they do these things is the culinary. They're upgrading that because so many kids are looking at that now as a career, and that's one of the new things they're really upgrading with high schools.
We had one student go to the Culinary Institute of America.
Okay,
she's probably finishing it now. It's a 2-year program out of Wabino.
I mean, it used to be home ec, but now they're taking this real serious.
And there's an event coming up at the Rush Center. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I forgot the name of it, but I'm judging for the and these kids that are. And I'm the judge for the youngest kids, but it's like 8 to 12. You know, that's pretty cool to be into it at that young age. And then they have all these seniors and adults. But Bill Jarts is one of the judges. And the interest that they have. They couldn't believe how many people. This is only the second year. They couldn't believe the interest they have in a culinary program. And that's something else. It's fun, but you can be creative. But you can also make a little money, too.
But it's a career.
It's a good career.
Absolutely.
Especially if you get to the resort, you can ski for free. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you get in Colorado or down at Hilton. Well,
I'm so old. I remember a home ec teacher, in fact, this one here, she says, girls, this is the most important class you'll ever have in your entire life because this is going to make your husbands happy.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, can
you
imagine that these days?
Not at all. Wow.
My senior year, I took the home ec class because I needed an elective.
Yeah.
A year and a half after taking the elective, I was cooking for the president.
Shut up.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. Your career is pretty amazing.
You're obviously very talented, but you were at the right place at the right time a couple times.
Yeah, right place at the right time. So I was supposed to go to Turkey. They canceled those orders when I was 18 years old. I got to Langley Air Force Base, which is Air Combat Command headquarters. Airman of the Year, I got to fly an F-15.
Wow!
And then, so that's them incentive flights and stuff they give you.
Okay, hey, Dan Brick, if you're listening, the thing about letting me drive a tractor, you just got beat out by a guy that flies an F-15 and might find a way for me to fly an F-15, Dan.
F-35's down in the 115th in Madison.
Yeah, and that too, Dan. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Sit in the back seat. They offered me a second incentive flight when I was in Madison, and I found out I was too heavy.
Really?
Yeah. So the ejector seats only push up 212 pounds. And that's what the command chief told me. He's like, if you want to lose that 12 pounds, Tom, I'm like, I've been on one. I'm not going to lose the weight.
John, could you fly in there?
That's good incentive.
Get on the treadmill. Yeah, but the ejectors, I could have flew out of Madison when I was NCO of the year down there.
I got to be honest with you. That seems like one of the scariest things in the world is to be ejected. When you're going, 200, 300 miles? I don't know how fast those things go. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a joke. I'm like, I never heard of an F-15 crash, but I think Madison had two.
Wow. I'll tell you one thing.
So there's a reason.
One of the most surreal things I've ever experienced in my life was a couple of years ago, they let me go on one of those things. Well, they did, it's like a media thing. You've probably done it.
Yeah.
Too, where they let you go on a tanker, and we went up to Duluth.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the whatever came up next to us to get refueled.
Yep.
And they're going, 500 miles an hour? I don't even know. And it's like Todd, right there.
You can see him,
You're sitting right there, and there's a pilot right on the other side of that glass going 500 miles an hour, whatever, refuel like that.
Yeah.
And then he did a little salute, and he disappeared.
That's cool stuff.
What would be scary is if you're flying one of them and you got two F-15s coming up beside you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, you need to land.
I got to tell you something. I watched this great special the other night on 9/11. Okay, on Bush, where he was in Sarasota, Florida, with that little school, and they're reading, and when they whisper to him and everything, and their whole thing was, sir, we must get you in the air, we must get you in the air, we must get you in the air. So they took to the air, and they're coming out with things that were disclosed for a while, and they said, there's F-15s, I think there were four of them flanking them, and they flew over the Gulf of Mexico to get out, and the mission was F-15s, was if any surface-to-air missiles came up, whatever, they wouldn't shoot it down. They would get in, and they would take the brunt of it. Right. So it was a suicide mission for those guys when they went up.
They were going to block it,
They were going to block it. They were going to take the missile.
Wow. I know they went up really high. I know they changed
that. That's a special break. Hey, what are you doing today?
Taking a bullet for the president.
I don't know. I would have flown higher, but I don't know that I would have done that.
Oh, son of a gun, he missed me. That'd be me. Stick around, Tom. Talking about quarterfinals, Taste of Home's Favorite Chef, and it's all to help young people who want to get into this fantastic profession. Back right after this. Like a breeze, country roads, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Almost heaven. West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains.
You just letting that play?
Just love it, man. Love it. I remember,
that is good music, man.
I remember watching a basketball game. Marquette against the University of West Virginia. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Marquette won, and the coach was Buzz, whatever. He was the head coach at Marquette. Mm-hmm. Did a great, Buzz Williams. And so the game was over, and he's walking over to do the post-game show to the radio guys, like, okay? And he's walking across, and at the end of every West Virginia game, they play this song. Yeah. That's like their, okay?
Right, the theme.
And he's walking across the thing, and he's like right by the logo, and he starts dancing. Oh, my gosh. They had to break away from the post-game show because the people behind were swearing at him. They wanted to kill him for dancing on the logo of that song.
Yeah.
They take that song real serious.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's a little somber.
We got some more entries for our Mind of the Mayor bingo card. This is from Tori.
Yeah, that might be me.
That's good, Tori. Another one. Tina says, quads and thighs.
Oh, man, that's going to be the first one called.
Another one from Alex. Nagani. Absolutely. This is Dan Brick. I will give Mino a tractor if I could have a ride in the F-15.
Yeah,
oh, he's right. This is to you,
that's
Todd.
A good deal.
Dan is saying, I'll give you a tractor
so
to drive if he can get a ride in the F-15.
So long, man. That's a good deal. Wow.
Love it. Great. So we're with Tom Swearingen. Advanced to the quarterfinals with a taste of home's favorite chef. And again, he's not doing this for himself or glory or anything like that. He's trying to earn some scholarship money for kids from the Ocano Falls area, right?
Wabino School District.
And you work there.
I'm the nutritionist at the Wabino School District.
With your background, you've won this before. You need to win it again.
Yep.
And all the money goes to help these kids when they get out of high school to go into a culinary field.
Yep. Or any, it's just a college scholarship to the seniors.
Oh, all right.
Yep.
You would probably lean.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
All the military stories I tell them, they're like, that's probably the best career you could go into.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
But that is a great career. Although I will say this, there's pressure on that too, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Being,
yep.
Yeah. No. I mean, the brass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's sometimes it's not what you cook, it's who you cook for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And they may not give you the advance notice that you would like.
Right.
Those guys parachute in from anywhere, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
did Bill Clinton really like peanut butter sandwiches and things like that?
Didn't he like everything?
Well, they when he came into, because they had a special meal with Secretary Cohen, when he came in there was so many people that were watching what you were doing.
Really?
You don't deviate from anything. People were watching you prepare it. People watched you bring it up there. People watched you plate it.
Of course.
Yeah.
They didn't want you slipping anything in there.
Well,
you know?
Secret Service, and too. So if they, in the Pentagon, when they have contractors come in, like electricians and stuff, I had a Secret Service guy outside our kitchen sitting in the ceiling watching an electrician do his job.
Wow.
Three days straight, 10-hour days. And we knew this guy. He was around us all the time. That's his whole job. He's just sitting in the ceiling with this electrician.
Okay, you got to tell the story about Dick Cheney.
Oh yeah, yeah. So when I was in my second deployment to the UAE, so we were outside of Dubai. Dick Cheney was there with the Air Force 2, I guess is what you call it. His aircraft was parked out on tarmac, and I was flight line dining facility manager, and so. We were taking care of the flight line people, and the Chief Saromsky was the chief of the flight line, was taking us for a tour, and we got to go underneath Air Force One, and we got to do a lot of stuff, except for we didn't get access to it.
Sure.
Because they didn't secure the equipment in there. So, like, everybody else was asking for, like, postcards or something off of Air Force One. I wanted the presidential M&Ms.
Right.
And he came back, Sergeant. Sorry, Sergeant Swearingen, we can't do that. Dick Cheney has a heart condition, and there's no M&Ms on the plane.
They M&Ms on the plane.
Guys, the VP doesn't have the discipline.
Take it away.
So, yeah, that's cool. All right, so what is this contest? When can we vote? How can we vote?
So I have, I think the best way to vote is to probably get onto your website.
Okay.
Hopefully we
Todd, can you jump in here, buddy?
Yep, I'll put it on our blog page. So go to wgbw.fm or wiss.fm. Click on Mino and the Mayor. Look at this hour's notes. We'll put it right in there for you.
So there will be a link on there. I'm promoting I Want to Win with just free votes. And I've gotten this far with just free votes. You can vote once every 24 hours. But they do have a link that you can donate money. This is a fundraiser for the James Beard.
Yeah, I'm good.
You can vote, but when you vote and you pay for and you donate money,
right.
Every dollar that you donate to the James Beard is a vote for me.
Yeah. Right.
So
and credit cards they take. It's just very easy to do.
Very easy to do. You'll be done in like 3 minutes.
Okay.
And the votes will register for me. Voting for the quarterfinals ends tonight at 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We're on it.
All right. Folks, please help us out. And again, nobody's making any money. Nobody's making a dime on this. Yep. It's all going to help kids for scholarships in the Wabino School District.
Wabino School District and also for the James Beard Foundation. So it's a win-win for both foundations.
Okay. Tell me, I think I asked you last. Who's James Beard?
James Beard was, he would be like the first Martha Stewart. So like in the early
kind of a Homec guy or whatever you call him.
So, he would be before the Food Network was there. Was James Beard.
Is he still around?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, that's cool.
All the money that he had, he created a foundation to help culinary arts and to promote it.
And again, like the home ec teacher told the girls in 1972, this is such an important class because it'll make your husbands happy.
Oh, man. Get her back. I'm sure I'll get a
this
couple
is
of
cool
emails.
Stuff, Tom. And do you tell kids some of your military stories?
Well, the nice thing about, so my family's heard this for years and years and years. Nice thing about I do summer school. I teach a class in summer school as well as feeding them. Every year I get new students. So it's the first time they've ever heard of these students.
We got 30 seconds. One more thing. Pub your brunch.
Pine Hills. I also work at a golf course. Pine Hills in Gresham or Bowler.
Yeah.
Every Sunday there's a brunch from 10 until 2.
What do you have?
Everything.
Prime rib. I'm the guy out front making omelets, sharing my military stories.
Love it. Tom, how do we vote?
Go to the website and click
Civic
on the link.
Media.
Beautiful.
Mind on the Mayor. And
always fun
vote.
Having you here, Tom.
Yep. Thanks, Tom.
Best of luck to everything you guys. You win. Mind on the Mayor. Back after this.
Something to say? Text Mino and the Mayor directly through the Civic Media app. Download the app, choose your station, WISS or WGBW, then hit the talk button in the lower right-hand corner and text the studio directly. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, great guest we've had so far today. Dan Brick from Brickstead Farms. Got the breakfast on the farm coming up on Sunday, June 1st, 8 until noon. But there's a church service, which is really cool, at 7 in the barn. And it's rain or shine. Or in the tent, yeah. Wayside Dairy, 7937 Stone Road, Greenleaf. Please get out there, support this. Support our dairy farmers. They are the salt of the earth. And ironically, we've got two guys here that grew up on dairy farms. That's a joke.
That's not true. These guys don't know what a dairy farm is. No, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
Hey, I go to the farm. Yeah,
it's cool.
I'm serving. John's going to drive a tractor. I'm going to be serving breakfast.
Jesse Lynn and Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette and these poor guys. Todd.
What's up?
It's so wonderful. They get up early, come in, whatever. And first of all, Jim puts on his political cap and starts getting
off,
on him something.
It was
yada, yada,
it
yada.
It was offline. Yeah. It was offline.
I'm getting on
I think
them,
it was more like social.
Right.
Okay.
It's conversation.
Related.
Yeah. You know what story you guys need to do?
We like to think.
Okay, but Jeremy, that one I'm talking about, I think would be a great story. There were prisoner of war camps in Northeast Wisconsin, and they brought over German prisoners. Okay, German troops, Nazi troops during World War II. Okay? And they brought him over here to work on the farms in this area. But one of the problems they had is, and like Dan said, was it 1848?
Yeah.
His family goes through from Ireland, okay? So you'd have these farms that were Germans, heritage. And they treated these guys like they were bringing them food and pies and wanting to socialize the ladies and yada, yada, yada. That they had to, I was talking to one guy, they used to have like a dance for the, and they had to shut those things down because so many, and the thing is, these weren't SS Nazis. These were conscripts. These were 19-year-old kids who were drafted and didn't want to, whatever.
Rank and file.
And they loved it over here. They fought to stay in Northeast Wisconsin. They didn't want to go back to Germany. But what the government did then is they obliterated where the things were.
Hmm.
And I think that'd be a great story.
That's just a pending question. Everywhere I go, they ask about that.
I know, right? I know. So could you? Hey, could you guys look away while I punch him? So could you look into that, Jeremy?
Well, that sounds really interesting. How did you find out about this, though?
I'm a historian.
Yeah, are you? I was going to say, like, you read a book and it was there.
I'm a historian, okay, Ariel? Wow, okay. Wow.
So what are you working on? I love reading your stuff. I mean, I get the paper every day. A lot of people do.
It's interesting stuff. You guys both. Two young guys to come into this area and get so acclimated in what's going on over around here is really cool.
To me, I think it's like the old days. I see who wrote it.
Yeah.
You're like the sports
That's
guy
the
we have on.
Yeah.
The sports guy we have on all the time.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
Scott. No? Scott Vency?
Vency.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a great writer as well. So anyway, what are you working on?
You go first.
You're putting me on the spot. Well, there's stuff about homelessness in the area. That's also always a big problem that I hear about people talking about that are concerned. Speeding.
Oh, thank you.
There's a...
My well, God, I live right upstairs here. You can't, at night, I mean, you have to close your windows. It reminds me of Wisconsin International Raceway at the drag strips. They'll go up and down on Walnut here. They'll drag race like you can't, and so loud, and they're going like 105. I don't know how. It's unbelievable. You want to know a good story? I'm going to tell you something. Go to Metro, the apartment complex.
Okay.
And go up to one of the upstairs there and sit there with a camera or something, or if you can get a speed gun, like a baseball speed gun, and see the noise and the speed factor. You'll be shocked at what
it is. At what time does this happen?
From 7 till 9.
Wow.
Sounds like early morning?
At night.
At night, yeah. That's early.
Yeah. Police would do. How about noise pollution? I think this city has gotten so loud. I'm interviewing the mayor this afternoon, as a matter of fact, for the show on Sunday. And that's on my list is... We used to, back in the day, go up with the, 80 decibels? I forgot what our law is. And they would test it. And it's not a lot of people, but it's a lot of the same people that's very annoying. And it's loud. And I mean, I'm not just talking about motorcycles.
It's incredibly loud. It's unbelievable.
And on Monroe, down here. And it's just in your face. It's like someone driving by your front yard just throwing trash on there. It's just so disrespectful. And... We don't do anything in this city. This is a loud, loud city.
It is?
Yes, it is.
I just, every time I come by, it's so quiet.
Yeah, maybe it's the time of day.
Well, I was going to say, you know.
We're talking to a couple of guys from actual cities. And like, really? This is like the quietest city we've ever been in? No, but we're those old guys. Get on! Turn that down!
I was going to say that, but I.
Once again, just so you guys know. Who you're talking to? You're talking to those two guys from the Muppet Show up in the balcony. That's who we are. Just so you know that going into it, okay?
You guys seem like you love it. So.
But you guys can sit here and say, oh, yeah, you guys are going to walk up there and go, oh, my God, are those two cranky old...
Well, it's 7:40. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I'm just talking about the weekends.
It sounds to me that isn't there the cops are right there on Walnut? They don't hear that? I mean...
They hear it. You gotta be deaf to not hear it. You hear it. You don't act on it.
Okay.
It's kind of. I'll give you another example at the next break. But anyway.
But we are those two guys in the balcony.
We are.
Just so you guys know that.
I have heard a lot of things about speeding, so that is something that
it is. That's like a scary thing at times.
But if they're quiet.
Yeah, because you hear them coming
V8
up to run you over.
Car, yeah.
So, Jerry, I got to ask you guys, what's been your most fun story that you've done here, the one you feel the best about?
Ooh. Most fun. Well, the most fun stories are my reader columns. I love writing those because you get more of my voice, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's more. I love to have fun with the writing. Most impactful story, I would say, was the story about the dad who waited 2 years for a four-way stop at the intersection of Eliza.
Yeah.
For his deaf and blind son.
Yeah.
That was probably, you know, I had a lot of conversations with him and got to know him a lot. And I felt that was one of the stories that I came here to do, to show people a side of you know, it kind of shows the human side of.
Are you shocked at all? Because you're not jaded yet.
Okay. I'm not jaded, no.
Okay.
No.
Are you surprised at all where you've got something where it's like, well, everybody would agree to this because it's common sense. This is good for whatever. And people, for whatever reason, they just want to go against it. Like, almost like no matter what it is, they have to be a foil. Do you are you surprised sometimes at that?
The pushback? I'm not surprised. No. Okay. No. Okay. Maybe it's because I grew up seeing a lot of different things as a kid. But, I mean, it's understandable. Are you talking about, like...
Well, that story.
Neighbor...
Yeah.
Neighbors, like, wanting a stop sign.
And not wanting it. You don't need a stop sign. I don't care if the kids, whatever. It's like...
Well, a lot of the neighbors in that case, they didn't want a stop sign.
I know they did, but other people, the ones that, like, how could you not want this?
The ones that don't live there?
Yes, exactly. But they just want to get their, you know, their voice heard somehow. Yeah. Where are you from originally, Jeremy?
From, I mean, that's hard to say. Okay. Virginia.
Okay.
In the mountains of Virginia is where I grew up for most of my childhood. So,
oh, cool.
So, and then I kind of moved around to... kind of like the suburbs and then...
Oh, like, Virginia?
Or? Maryland.
Maryland, okay.
Maryland, right across the border.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Georgetown.
Couldn't get into a good school?
No, I'm really not. I tried my best.
I'll tell you what, I spent one... When we went to Walter Reed Hospital one time with the Wires, and we were out in the town of Georgetown, the city of Georgetown, and that would be such a cool place to go to school.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I love history, personally.
Yeah.
So it was like really cool with being like, oh, wow, these buildings are
they're
so
what
old.
What a cool area that is, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And people were like, well, you have to like keep, you can't change anything about the neighborhood. It has to look that way because of like, you know, ordinances and rules. And
why can't they win?
There always has to be winners and losers.
I know, but with George Thompson, what they had, it was, or John Thompson, it was like amazing. Mm-hmm. And you think that's going to be one of those basketball programs that's just a heritage program. They're all like a Duke. And it's like, man.
I mean, they changed their coach, I think, right when I was graduating.
Okay.
There. Doesn't seem like things have changed, though. I don't know. Maybe we're cursed.
But Hoya Paranoia.
Yeah.
That used to be great, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Ariel.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. I promise you I'm not going to throw a bunch of Cuban baseball players and athletes at you like I've done in the past. I swear. Okay.
It's okay.
Although Theofaldo Stevenson is still the best heavyweight boxer in my lifetime I've ever seen. And that's terrible that Castro wouldn't let him fight outside of Cuba.
I'm like my grandpa. I'm a fan of Rocky Marciano.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that was... Okay. I'll tell you a quick story. My family, my grandfather, who was right from Italy, came over here from Italy... From the same village was Primo Carnera.
Ooh. Nice.
Primo Carnera.
Yeah.
Heavyweight boxer.
I never heard of him, but okay.
I'm with Jim. Yeah. I've never heard of him.
This happens every day.
You gotta see Cinderella Man.
Yeah.
You gotta see Cinderella Man.
Yes!
You haven't seen that movie?
No.
Russell Crowe.
Thank you. Which is a great movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a wonderful movie.
Wonderful movie.
So the bad guy
got
in the movie.
Got me crying and everything.
Yes. The bad guy. Okay. So Primo Carnera fought Max Baer.
Yeah.
Okay. So Max Baer, and he was like the villain in this movie. His family, his son filed a lawsuit against producers for the way they made their dad look. He was everybody. But you know Jethro from Beverly Hillbillies?
Oh, yeah.
It was his dad. Max Baer Sr. Yeah. Was a heavyweight boxer, fought Primo Carnera. Almost killed him.
I always bring the sport guy out.
You bring it out of him? Difficult.
Jesse
what a challenge.
Jesse Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. Okay, I got my spiel out. You guys can have a real talk show now. Go ahead.
How about you? What are you working on, Ariel?
Well, I've been working on several things, mainly the Cellcom outage this week. But
where are we at with that, Ariel?
You want to interview us at the break?
Talk to us, brother. What's going on?
Well, I got a message from my editor just a couple of minutes ago, and he said that he could make calls, so there might be an update coming later today.
But okay. He can't. That was said a day ago. You can make calls now.
No. But now I think...
But some people can and some people can't, is my point.
Yeah, I think he meant that he could make calls to other providers. Yeah. Other
Verizon or something?
Yeah, other cell companies.
Oh, that's a big step then.
That's a step.
So, yeah. So I don't know. There might be an update coming. So as soon as I get out of here, I got an interview with the...
Isn't it crazy, though, Ariel? I mean, in the media, you know, and I go back so far, like in journalism school, and one of the things was you must always carry dimes with you to get to a payphone. Okay? It's true. Okay. But now, like, even like I'm trying to get a hold of my doctor this week for a thing I got, and I can't get through to anybody.
Yeah.
You forget without landlines. Oh, my God. We are so dependent.
I talked to a person that he was in Montana. and he said, "Well, I'm from Searing, Wisconsin, and I was on the way to Montana to see my father-in-law, who's 98, and all of a sudden we can't call him. We have no phone, no communication, and you know he's an old guy. He gets worried. We always tell him where we are, where we're coming. So it was like it was a horrible trip. Of course, he didn't blame the company or anything. He said, "I've been 15-year-old customer, but it was horrible, you know, to the feeling of not being able to communicate."
Yeah. We got laughed at because we still have a landline. Who's laughing now? That's the first time we've used it.
Well, we still are.
Anyway, yeah, this is, you can learn from this too, how much we rely on a piece of equipment like that. And then it's going to be interesting to see when this comes out, what really happened, because could it happen to another industry that we rely on too? You know what I mean?
Yep.
We got two phenomenal guests here. We've had a great lineup today. Jesse Lynn, Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette, back with, we have another bingo card entry. This would be from Todd. Mino spilled his coffee again. Sparky.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Jesse Lynn, Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. Stay with us.
I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. It is Trucker Thursday. We got some phenomenal guests. We have Dan Brick from Brickstead Farms. We'll talk more about that. Breakfast on the Farm. Tom Swergen advanced to the quarterfinals for Taste of Home's Favorite Chef to help all kids with scholarships. And now two of the best young writers you'll ever find, Jesse Lynn and Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette. And like I said, gentlemen, we always like to set the table by just talking about us first. Now we're going to turn over to you guys.
Yeah, right. See, I was asking.
The table is yours.
Between breaks, the NFL draft, biggest story in Green Bay for...
How do you grade it?
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that Jesse was inside and I was outside every day.
Right.
So we got both.
So we got both perspectives.
Yeah, exactly.
On how things were. It was such a party. I'm not a football fan. Okay. I'm not a football guy in general. My friends are. But once I got in there, it was so fun.
Yeah.
I finally was convinced, like, I could get behind this. And
This is what they were talking about
when they're for like, you know, really excited about their teams and everything. And you feel the energy.
Right.
You could feel like moving into the crowd. It was like running against a river because
that's what I was telling people that first night. It was almost a little bit overwhelming because I'm not a real tall guy.
Yeah.
And my son is real tall. I'm like, Dom, where's the so-and-so? I couldn't see. It's like you're in the water.
You know what? I called it. I was moving because I was covering the outsides, right?
Yeah.
And I was moving from the south side of Lambeau to the north side to go to kind of like Oneida Street there. And when I got out from the entry, the one first entry, and I was with my phone taking photos, and then I see the sea of people coming.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait, I stood there and I recorded a short video, but then more people kept coming.
It was like a tidal wave type of thing.
So I communicated to the chat of our group chat and said, "Hey, there's a lot of people going in now."
Yeah.
And then like 10 minutes later, it was like, "No, the entry is closed." Closed down.
That's cool. I wonder where they came from though.
Well, that's okay. That's the thing that we talk about. Okay,
they were coming down the Lombardi Avenue. Closed. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing as far as where they originally... Okay, that was, in retrospect, when you look back, we thought this could be a big tourist thing. The people that come to an NFL draft want to do one thing. They want to see who their team drafts. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the restaurants. They don't care about the tourist sites. They are hardcore football draftniks. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
I think so.
From what I saw. Sure.
Yeah. And I also think that they stayed in the fun... areas.
Well, they didn't. You know what? In retrospect, they didn't need to go anywhere. Everything you wanted,
right,
was pretty much there.
They didn't leave that,
right?
And that was a big footprint. You know, I'll give them that. There was a lot to do, but not only food and drink and the event, but the right, the extracurricular things, you know, the Heisman Trophy. And I'm not sure I read that that was all going to be there. So that was a cool way to kill time.
Yeah.
Versus coming down here and going to Hagemeister, which I wish more people would have done that. But anyway, that I think if you talk to the people outside the perimeter, it wasn't what they expected.
But if you go to a Super Bowl, 99% of everything is outlying areas, and it's a social event, and people go to party. Mm-hmm. This was a hardcore, weird draft people. They had their notebooks, they had their magazines, their analysis type things. These were hardcore people.
Mm-hmm. I also think we did read about how it went in Detroit the previous year, and it was a similar experience for businesses there. Our team in Milwaukee said the same thing about the Republican convention.
Oh, yeah.
Many businesses in downtown didn't really
benefit
see.
From,
because everybody stayed.
Because the Super Bowl is a social event. That's entertainment. The whole, up until the game, there's nothing about the game itself, the teams. It's all fun and parties and things like that.
I'm not sure that was
conveyed. And the draft isn't that way.
No?
No. But anyway, I'm not sure that was conveyed that outside the fence isn't a good place to be. I'm not sure.
Well, we didn't know it though.
No, but he said we did. He said that.
Well, we like our colleague Jeff Bollier wrote about it.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah,
and he mentioned that in Detroit, you know, the outside the downtown areas outside from where the draft was, didn't see a big influx of people going to businesses or restaurants.
Although I will say this, I used to live outside of Detroit. If you don't know Detroit, you hear all these such horror stories that I'm not sure anybody would want. I mean, okay, we're going to go from Ashwaubenon to downtown Green Bay. Yeah. I don't think anybody's thinking, are we safe?
Yeah.
But you know, right. Detroit, there's so many horror stories that if you're not from there, you don't realize.
That's a really good
point. But there was a lot of, there was a lot of activity outside of the stadium, like, you know, the bars, the big bars and sport bars.
Yeah, the stadium district.
And they had concerts and bands.
You didn't have to wander far away to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were packed every day.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they were. Our good friend Dennis from the Glam Band comes in and he did a couple of shows there. And Nick Cheese Curd, who does the cheese curds.
Does the cheese curds?
Did you go down last night?
No, it was raining.
But they still held it, right? Farmers market?
Yeah.
Do you know Cheese Curd Nick?
I was
going
to go out and be a whip.
No, I don't.
Oh, my God.
Nick, that's what I'm confused about.
Okay. Cheese Curd Nick. Okay. He runs the first fried cheese curd stand, I think, in the state of Wisconsin's ever.
Oh.
It's so popular, you can't believe it. All right?
Like there's a line going.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You got to get to know Cheese Curd Nick.
A couple things about him. When we first met 20 years ago was confrontational because he was selling hot dogs downtown here on the corner.
He didn't have the permits.
I tell you, we increased the permits, but he stayed.
He didn't slip enough under the table to the mayor to get his permit.
And then he came to the council meeting to defend his thing. And he goes, look, I make a living off selling to drunks. That's not what the mayor wants to hear about his downtown. I have so much respect for him. He has a business plan. I mean, this guy's a one-man entrepreneur. He hires people for big events. Everything's on his phone. Costs, like things that some businesses don't do.
And
he's gross margin.
What he predicted, draft-wise, was right exactly.
He's spot on. I'm going to have him speak in one of my classes. He's just a very good entrepreneur but it's pretty internal.
Yeah. He's got the business mind.
He does.
Yeah, absolutely.
That guy could be sitting in some corporate office, but he fishes all the time.
Spare day, he's fishes. Yeah, he goes fishing. Got a thing here. Great guest today. Very informative and entertaining. Thank you, Ted. Yeah. We're Jesse Lynn and Ariel Perez, Green Bay Press Gazette. We guys set up to a hard break here. We got Andrew Parks coming in, Brown County Civic Music Association. But can you guys stick around?
I can stay here for a little longer, yeah.
I have to take care of my dog.
There you go. That's
Are you serious?
I have to take care of my greyhound.
You can't stick around
a
little bit?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, we're just getting started. You got a greyhound?
Yeah.
Was it a rescue?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
X-Racing greyhound. He's 3 years old. His name is Shiloh.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.